We're in Proverbs chapter number 21, verses 5 through 9. Proverbs 21, 5 through 9. I put on the front of the bulletin, which is a paraphrase of Proverbs 1:5, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." That is a good summary of what the Proverbs are all about. We gain learning, we gain instruction, we gain wisdom and knowledge of that wisdom, and we are guided by the wisdom of the Lord. So tonight we hope that the Lord will, we pray the Lord will add to our learning and give us guidance in our walk with Him. Verse 5, let's read verse 5 through 9, and then we'll pray, and then we'll try to look at them one by one. Verse 5, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentiness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment or refuse to do right. The way of a man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." And all the men said, "Amen." We'll spend some time on the first four and then quickly go through number five. Amen. Too many women here for me to linger on that one. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful and grateful that we have the privilege to come tonight. I pray, God, that we would not take this night and this opportunity for granted. For there are many people around the world who would love to be able to come and to openly worship and learn of you, and they do not have that opportunity, but we do. So help us to be mindful and grateful for the grace that makes tonight possible. And while we're here, God, I pray that our hearts are in tune to you and that our minds and our entire beings are worshiping and glorying in who you are. And we pray, God, that you would speak to us tonight and instruct us from your word, that you would give us instruction and you would give us guidance. And knowing that your word will lead us into paths of righteousness and in paths of truth and in paths that would be pleasing and unto you. So help us to live wiser. Help us to live more glorifying to you by listening and heeding your word and applying it to our lives. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I think there is a very fine line between having enough financially and being consumed with having more. I think the distance between being content and being consumed with gain is very, very short. I think there's a fine line between having money, having things, and loving money and loving things. There is a fine line between having money to live and living for money and living for things. The fact is that the Bible does not anywhere promise anyone wealth, material wealth. And being a Christian does not automatically mean that God will give you a good job or give you wealth or give you health or give you things. There is a promise that God will supply all your need. But God determines your need. Because a lot of times we think what we think are needs are wants. I remember my kids, Justin and Kelsey, when they wanted something, they would say, I need that. I need that. They didn't need that. They wanted that. Amen. Wealth is not a sign of God's favor. Wealth by itself, in and of itself, is not necessarily a sign of God's favor, and poverty is not necessarily a sign of God's displeasure. What is given to us, or what we have, whatever that may be, to whatever degree or whatever amount that may be, it is a gift from God. And it should be used for His service. It is and should be our blessing to take what God gives us and to use it to help others. I don't know anything as dangerous as wealth. I don't know anything as dangerous as stuff. Because that step between contentment and consuming and between living and loving, that's a very small step. Jesus Himself said it was very hard for those who have wealth. It's very hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now let me say, there's nothing evil in money or things in themselves. The evil, the problem is when we become devoted to them instead of being devoted to God. It's when we crave them when we should be craving God. When we would rather have fellowship with them instead of having fellowship with God. And can I say this? You can have fellowship with an iPhone. Amen? And you can desire iPhones more than you desire God. The problem is, what must we do to gain more? Will we have to work more? Will we have to ignore our family more? Will we have to ignore church more? And then, what about our weak attempts to try to rationalize our greed? So I think it would be good tonight if we learn some wisdom from God's Word concerning gain, getting. And that is what I think these next five parables sort of lead us toward, especially the first three and then by implication the next two. So let's begin by looking at the principle of gain. And verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent, or we could say the plans of the diligent, tend only to plentiness. But of everyone that is hasty, only to want. So let's learn something here about the principle of gain. If we want to gain or want to have, and I'm not against having, right? We ought to put up for later. We ought to be like the ant. We ought to, the Bible gives us all those things. But for us to live and to have that which we need to live, there needs to be some consistency of action. See that word diligent? It means consistency. The plans are the thoughts of the diligent, the plans are the thoughts of that one that is consistent in their actions. Diligence. Consistency. There is not much hope in getting rich quick. If you're putting all of your financial future in winning the lottery, it's probably not going to work out for you. How do we survive? How do we gain? How do we have things to live with? It's just a daily, consistent working. Just daily, consistently working. I had this girl tell me the other day, said that her mother and her were going to do a job, and they really liked the job because there wasn't much to do and they were going to pay them a lot of money. I said, they're going to pay you a lot of money and you're not going to have to do very much. She said, that's right. I said, well, how's that going to work? Isn't that what most people are looking for? To do the very least and get the very most. But Solomon says that's not normally, generally, the way that we work through and that we have things, that we gain. It is just a daily, weekly, monthly, year after year after year, consistent working to gain. Amen? Not get rich quick, not get rich overnight, not do little and get much, but just a steady, consistent working, which seems to be anti what America is all about anymore. But there is some value in a man or a woman who just works day after day after day in the ordinary workplace and gets the paycheck and is able to pay the bills and put food on the table. But secondly, there's a course of action that is mentioned here. The thoughts are the plans of consistency. And the word there for thoughts is a word that means to count or to compute or to calculate or to think out or devise or to invent or scheme. So I think there needs to be some financial planning. Amen? Some planning on how you spend your money and what you're going to do with the money that comes in and putting up for a rainy day and things like that. Work hard. Plan well. It's good advice. Be good advice for anyone. Work hard. Plan well. Because if you don't, if you're always wanting things hastily and quickly, all that is a formula for financial disaster. Don't be hasty. Don't be trying to get rich quick. Don't be trying to find the job where you don't have to do very much and yet get a lot of pay. That won't work. Amen? I can remember being in the coal mines, and it was early 80s, and the economy was tanking pretty badly. And we were sitting around, and I was talking to some of the miners, and I was only, 18, 19, 20 years old. And I said, well, how much are they selling the coal for? And they said, well, they're selling it for $47 a ton. I said, well, how much is it costing them to mine it? They said, well, it's costing them $53 a ton to mine it. I said, well, how long do you think that's going to last? They're mining it for $53, selling it for $47. We ain't gonna make it. But they were just content as they could be, thinking that apparently that the coal company was there to give them a job and not there to make money. Well, you know the story of that, right? I got laid off and they got laid off because they couldn't afford to pay $53 to mine it and $47 to sell it. There has to be some consistency and some planning, amen, in our actions, or there will be financial disaster. And so there's the principle of gain. Work hard, plan well. Amen? And then look at verse number 6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. So now we're diving into now what would be the dangers of gain, the dangers of things, the dangers of wealth, by not working hard and planning well. What is this disaster? What is this hastiness that brings about want? Well, let's look at the pursuit of gain here, verse number 6. There are many people who will attempt to gain and to get things and to move forward in life financially and materially by being very deceitful in their pursuit of it. So he says, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue, by a deceitful tongue. How do we gain our treasures? How do we gain our money, our progress in financial matters? Well, many people do it by a lying tongue. And Solomon's already told us that a lying tongue is an abomination to the Lord. Amen? There are those who gain money by very deceitful ways. They sell this or they buy this, and behind all of that is dishonesty and lies. And they have to lie to gain because, you know what? They're not going to work hard and they're not going to plan. So to gain quickly without working hard, they lie. They're very deceitful in their pursuit of trying to gain. But what Solomon says here is that in this deceitful pursuit of gain, it is also a destructive pursuit. He says they'll be tossed to and fro of them that seek death. So what he says here is that in the attempt to gain by deceitful means, it really is them moving toward want and toward death. Ill-gotten gains do not profit man. Getting things improperly and dishonestly won't ever work out to your advantage. It leads toward your disadvantage, your death. It's destructive. And you know, there's all kinds of people who have... I just read the other day of that couple that, I don't know, what were they? They were some sort of couple on some reality show, and they had taken out false loans, and they just milked a lot of money that they shouldn't have. Well, he's going to spend about 47 months in jail, and she's going to spend about 25 months in jail. How'd that work out for them? Amen? And plus, they have to pay a lot of that back. So, the pursuit of gain by deceitful means leads to destruction and destructiveness. Look at verse 7. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. Here I want to talk about the passion of gain. Notice the progression. We began with a principle. What's the principle of getting through this life financially? Work hard, plan well. But if we don't plan well, we'll move toward trying to gain by being deceitful. That will lead to destruction. And that destruction is sort of fleshed out in that there's a passion now, a love for things and money that will lead toward that destruction as well. The problem is, we can become consumed with things. We can become consumed with money, having more. If you ask a millionaire how much is enough, they'll always say one more million. There's never enough. Why? Because they're consumed with wealth. They're consumed with things. They're consumed with having. And you don't have to be a millionaire to be consumed with things. And gain... things have a way of consuming us. If we're not wise in understanding the principle of gain, then there'll be a attempt of gaining gain in haste, and that will become deceitfulness to gain, and then we turn to violence to gain. Isn't it amazing that people will rob to gain? They'll go into a store, take a gun, and they'll rob to gain. If you're out on a street in a large city, you may get mugged by a group of individuals so that they can gain your money and have what you have. And you know as well as I do, people will kill to gain. It's amazing that men and women will kill the person that they have made vows with to gain the insurance money. Say amen. I watch it all the time. Denise watches too much of it. I get a little nervous. You know, snapped and things like that. These men and women who actually kill their spouses so that they can get their insurance money. Well, that normally doesn't work. You don't get the insurance money, you get the jail cell or the death penalty, amen? Or they'll be having an affair and they'll kill their spouse so that they can have the other person. It is the love of money, it is the love of things, it is the love of what we don't have that leads to all sorts of evil. Because we love money, because we love things, we deceitfully gain it, or we violently gain it. Because we have to have it. We want it so much we have to have it. And he says that this will destroy them because they refuse to do right. They refuse to act with justice. They refuse to do the right thing. Why? Because their own sinful self-will, they refuse to do the right thing. They can do the right thing, but in their heart they won't do the right thing because their self-will is now in slavery to stuff and to things. God wants us to be just in what we do. And we don't care what's just. We will spur what's just and what's right with the Lord and what brings pleasure to God so that we will have what brings pleasure to us. Amen? And in the end, Solomon says, in the end, if that's the way you want to go, you'll lose. You'll lose. You don't get ahead by deceitfully getting ahead. You don't get ahead by violently getting ahead either. Amen? And you know, you've heard all kinds of stories on the news where people have been robbed and been beaten and killed because they had a little bit of money. And it's amazing how a little bit of money, people have lost their life over just a little bit of money. Well, let's look at not only the consuming passion, but the consequential passion. That's the problems that come, the difficulty that comes with this violence, because those who act in violence will have violence acted upon them. And can I say that's biblical, right? Those who kill should be punished. Those who rob should be punished. Those who mug should be punished. Those who are thugs should be punished. And Solomon says they will. They will be destroyed because they refuse to do that which is right. There is a consequence for all of that, and it comes to be. Look at verse 8. The way of a man is froward and strange. The word strange there means guilty. The way of a man is froward and strange, or guilty. But as for the pure, his work is right. Now let me tie this one in with these other three that are clearly talking about gain. And let me talk about the pattern of gain. It's complicated. We began with a very simple principle, right? Work hard, plan well. But when we have to have things, and now we become deceitful, and we become violent in being consumed with having it, we have complicated things to a great degree. What I mean by that is this. If we have to gain things sinfully, we'll have to keep them sinfully as well. To gain it, if I have to gain it deceitfully, I'll have to be deceitful to keep it. If I gain it violently, I'll have to be violent to keep it. So the sin to get the gain will only complicate and compound itself in more sin. Does that make sense? So that this way of the guilty man is going to be crooked. That's what he's saying. The way of man is crooked, froward, and guilty. The way of the guilty man is crooked. So the man who has gained things wrongly is now guilty, and his way will always be what? Crooked. Because it will take more crookedness to keep his stuff. Say amen. And then there seems to be an idea of concealing here, a concealing pattern. If you gain things deceitfully or sinfully, then don't you have to commit all sorts of sin to keep that from being found out? Well, I've noticed that in school. It's just an element of human nature that when you're caught, you'll lie like a dog to try to get out of it. Right? I can watch kids do things and then call them down and they tell me they weren't doing it. And I saw them. Amen? Go to a prison. Ken will tell you. Go to jail. They're all innocent. They've all been framed. They all didn't do it. What are they doing? They're lying. They try to conceal their guiltiness. To try to keep under wraps what they've done. And to have wealth or to have things or to have people in an adulterous fashion, there is all sorts of sins and concealments and lies and deceitfulness that comes in just so that that doesn't be found out about them. It's a compound, complicated situation. If you want to go that route, it's just going to be a pattern of sin, a pattern of crookedness in your life. But for the pure man, his conduct is upright. You ever be going down the road and the blue lights come on behind you? You know, if you were going, if the speed limit's 55 or 65 and you were doing 55 and 65, you don't have a concern whatsoever, right? You'll say, I wonder who he's after. But if you're doing 70 or 75, you're saying, uh-oh, he got me. Amen? If you're guilty, you can expect, right? You can expect to be caught or to be found out. If you're not guilty, then what? You don't worry about it, amen? I can remember in high school, back then they used to call your name, come to the principal's office. I never thought, well, what have I done now? I never thought, what have I done now? I always thought, well, I wonder what they found out now. Which one of those things have I done that they found out about? Amen? But some people got called to the office and they just knew they were going down there. Their mom had brought their lunch or something good was happening. They hadn't done anything. But the minute they called me, I said, oh no, what have they found out about me now? If you're pure and right and not guilty, then your conduct will be upright. If you're guilty, your conduct is going to be crooked. Amen? And then this last one, and then I don't have time to thank God to dwell on it. But I'm going to, just a minute. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman or contentious woman in a wide house. So here's how I'm tying this in. The puzzle of gain. And I want you to get this because principle, work hard, plan well. But if you go the wrong way with haste, you're going to do it deceitfully and violently and it's going to consume you and your pattern of life is going to be sinful. And then here's the final aspect of all of this. that whatever you gain, whatever wealth you have, whatever stuff you have, however you get it, it has absolutely no ability to bring you any lasting pleasure. None. So here's how I see this verse. Here's a man who has maybe gained things deceitfully, gained things improperly, guilty, and he's got this wide house. He's got this nice house, and yet he can't enjoy it because he has a brawling woman. Well, we think my life would be so much better if I'd win the lottery. No. You know why? Because all the money in the world can't bring you lasting pleasure or happiness. It can't. Why would we spend our life, why would we spend our efforts deceitfully and violently trying to get more and more and more and living our life in a very sinful way when whatever we get, if we got the whole world, it wouldn't bring us any lasting happiness? Wealth has no ability to bring lasting pleasure. And wealth has no ability to bring end to problems. Get a big house, get a nice car, get a good amount of money in the bank account, it don't fix a nagging wife. It don't, right? Come on, men. Don't act like the Supreme Court here. All the money in the world won't fix your wife if she's a nagger. Right? If she's... I'm just trying to give you what's here now. It is better for you to go up on the roof out of your nice, comfortable, air-conditioned home with a big king-size memory foam bed. It'd be better to go up on the housetop and sleep on the roof in a very uncomfortable way than it would to be living in the nice house with a contentious woman. Because all the money that you've got, all the stuff you got, didn't fix her. Because her can't be fixed with money. Right? Or him. He can't be fixed with money either. So why do we spend our life trying to gain things when they won't bring us happiness and they won't fix our problems? And I know, what's the deal Dolly says? She says, what is that she says? But it can make your misery a lot better or something? Yeah. Money won't make you happy, but it can give you that which will let you pick what kind of misery you want to live in. Amen? If things could make you happy and things could fix problems, how come Hollywood has so many divorces? They got all the money in the world, all the looks in the world, all the popularity in the world, and none of them. I don't know very many of them at all who last beyond 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of marriage. Right? Because they don't fix the problem. If you marry a contentious woman or a contentious man, more money don't fix it. Amen? And let me say this to end it all. There's one thing that we need. One thing we have to have. That's we have to have our souls secure in Christ. Nothing else really matters. Why are we so intent on going after that which will not make us happy, will not solve our problems, and with that which we really don't necessarily have to have anyway? If we have Christ, we have all we need. Amen. May God help us to be content and to work hard, plan well, trust Him. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. Speak to our hearts through it. Help us to be diligent and mindful of the principle here. Help us to refrain from letting things and wealth consume us to the point that we are deceitful to get it, maybe violent to get it, consumed with it, that our life will be lived now crookedly to have it, and at the end it won't bring us happiness anyway. But help us to see these truths before we err in real life. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.